This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
It's, timey-wimey thing.
Timey what? Timey-wimey?
I've no idea where he picks that stuff up.
All right, here we are, episode two.
Two.
Of the Timey Wimey Podcast Hour. I'm Ronnie.
I'm Austin.
And I'm Shane.
And tonight is a little bit more structured than our first one. Maybe more rambling. Maybe less rambling. Who knows? We're going to talk about a couple villains and some gadgets from Doctor Who, obviously. And then I got some unknown facts. And then we're going to answer a couple of listener questions. We're podcasting from inside the TARDIS. TBT is a Star Wars podcast on the Nerdy Legion Network with Sparky, who actually asked us one of our questions. And then his cousin Dave and his other cousin Steven. Which Dave and Steven are brothers.
Dave. That's right. You tell him, Steve Dave.
But Dave is a huge, huge Star Wars fan. So when I was listening to their first episode, I said that you, Shane, was our Dave. Because, you know, we're here, pull back the curtain, if you will, and we're podcasting here. In one of your rooms of the house, and it's like Doctor Who everywhere.
And Star Trek.
Oh, and, yeah, and Star Trek stuff. So you want to kick it off, Austin, with your villain that you wanted to talk about tonight?
Yeah, I guess. I mainly wanted to talk about the Master being, like, one of the Doctor's oldest villains and best friend at a time.
Okay.
Well, can I just start with how my first...
Yeah?
Okay, so I first got introduced to the character of the Master in the Tenet episode where the Master becomes the Prime Minister.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I don't know who this is. And you were nerding out about it because you knew exactly who it was.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't share any information.
Well, spoilers, right?
Indeed. I just... like the Master, and I didn't realize that's what Missy was in the Capaldi episodes.
Right.
Until, like, I watched some videos and stuff on it preparing
right.
for this.
Who did the Master better, though?
The guy that was in
John
the...
Sam?
John Sam. Yeah.
In the Tenet episodes. My question would be for you two is, like, what was your first run-in with the Master?
Mine that I can actually remember, I would say, would probably be that time. Because before that, you know, I was younger than you at the time. So it was just... Was that... Yeah, because that's how John Sims started with the fob watch, right?
Yeah.
And the old guy, and then...
Well, yeah, he was the old guy first.
And then he regened. Yeah.
He didn't know he was actually the Master until he...
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I went back and watched some of the old ones, and to me, I don't know about you guys, but I know Dewan asked a question also, and one morning after C2E2, or at C2E2, the old reruns of Doctor Who was on, and it was kind of cheesy, corny style. Compared to the production and everything that we have now.
What are you talking about? They gave him like $15 to do a show back then. What the hell?
Right. So, to me, I didn't really remember the Master from before, basically. So, and I liked how they modernized him, I guess we'll call it. and how whoever played has progressed in the storyline for there, and the drumming.
Yeah, the drumming was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't recall one old episode with the Master in it. You know, and I even watched something like that. I can't remember it.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe it just didn't leave a lasting impression.
Yeah. Well, back then, it's like I said, it was just something mesmerizing and cool that I did. It's early in the morning, so I'm a kid, so I didn't want to get up to go to school anyway. But this is how I pacified time and how I knew that the bus was going to be there. Now I'm not going to lie. There was a couple times I did miss the bus, but that was because it was like a substitute driver and it wasn't like normal time. But what about your gadget?
My gadget that I picked was the psychic papers.
The psychic paper?
Yeah. And like my first introduction of those was with Tennant as well. Mm-hmm. And it was the fact that he could act like something was on it and use it like a badge, or a fake badge like Sam and Dean do. But it actually could just play the tricks on people.
Right.
I thought it was really cool. Because
it gave
him
more
stuff
than a screwdriver half the time.
Yeah.
And I think that's the first incarnation of it was
I don't remember from way back when. But
That's basically what it is like whoever he uses on projects whatever he's saying. So he could be the Prime Minister, or he could be the President of the United States, or whatever, or he could just be a CIA agent. But
that's your favorite gadget in all time?
The vortex manipulator.
What do you like? What's cool about the vortex manipulator?
I like
it
because it's a portable TARDIS, right?
Yeah.
Because you can just slap it on your wrist and hit buttons and go everywhere.
Right.
And like with the TARDIS, the Doctor needs his keys, and like if he's during regeneration, the TARDIS could kick him out, or he could lose his keys.
Right.
Or like in Blink, the TARDIS could get surrounded by angels, or in the Van Gogh episode, it could blow up.
Right.
Stuff like that.
Right.
But like with the vortex manipulator, you can just take it and then leave.
Yeah.
But it did until the Doctor got a hold of it and fixed it where he couldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And pretty much shut it down.
Yeah, pretty much shut it down. They had to have a reason to keep Jack around on Earth where he wouldn't be bouncing around all over time messing with stuff.
Right.
They'd done that, and then Torch would have been irrelevant. So.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Well, let me see. My favorite, probably. Well, it's hard.
I know it's hard.
Yeah. That's my favorite villain.
Yeah.
Because
I'm gonna pick one that, like, I'm gonna pick one that isn't like your normal one. So.
Yeah.
Then again, what is normal in the Doctor Who universe?
Yeah, because you only take so much Daleks and Cybermen, so you know,
right?
There's not much difference between them. Like, they're always the same, and probably if I had to pick one that was kind of off the wall, it'd probably be the one with the werewolves where they, you know, the Doctor and Rose went back to Queen Victoria the First and had like the werewolf and the werewolf priests, monks or whatever they were.
Right.
They were kind of cool. Probably. Because, even then, you know, you look back on it and that it all tied into the Bad Wolf story arc anyways.
Yeah. And that was the incarnation of Torchwood, wasn't it?
Yeah, the queen invented Torchwood then.
Yeah, which is an acronym it's not an acronym. What's the word? You mix the letters around and it spells Doctor Who.
Yeah, that's not an acronym, isn't it?
No, acronym's like AIM. And then... or OPP or whatever. Anyways.
We're getting off track.
Like race car. You can do it again and it'll be race car.
Spell it forward and backwards. It spells race car.
Well, that's a whole different, another term.
Yeah,
but.
Whatever.
What about your gadget?
My favorite gadget would probably be... Wow. You know, you're stuck with a sonic screwdriver, basically.
Right.
It's either that or the Master's laser screwdriver, one of the two.
Right.
And it probably, if I had to pick my favorite one, it'd probably be Smith's, and followed by Capaldi's.
Okay.
The Sonic glasses can just go on out the window for all I care about that. I thought that was kind of a goofball deal anyways, but I, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Mix it up a little.
Yeah. favorite villain for me, you guys are going to laugh, but at the time I didn't think it was relevant, but I liked Cassandra as the villain because she was like the last Earth or human. And then she had people moisturize her or whatever.
Moisturize me.
Yes. And it's not like when I first watched it, I was like, okay, that's cool, but corny all at the same time. But then, like, watching it back, I was like, wow, that was pretty cool and really thought out and like how they did it, basically.
And now it's a meme.
And now it's a meme, yeah.
Well, I don't know. The Sonson Library shadow things are actually better.
Yeah. The Nofarata, I think.
Yeah, no. Whatever.
No. Who turned out the lights?
Yeah, who turned out the lights?
Nosferatu.
Nosferatu? No.
And then for me, my gadget, I would probably have to pick the Sonic too. Just because it's iconic. I mean, there's only a handful of gadgets, really,
yeah,
that you think about it. I mean, unless you count the TARDIS as a gadget, but I don't really count it as a gadget.
But yeah, you gotta get the Sonics, Psychic Paper, Vortex Manipulator.
Yeah.
Maybe a Jadoon Scanner.
Right.
Occasional episode gadget here and there. Yeah. That was just for plot device.
Maybe just something, yeah, like that. Something the doctor threw together you only see one time, you know.
The, yeah, little thing that goes in your hand whenever you see a silence or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. My favorite incarnation of the Sonic, though, is Rivers.
Rivers,
yeah. Future
Sonic.
Just because I like how it has the ring part,
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, the ring.
Mine's Tenet.
Yours is Tenet?
Because it's Tenet.
Because it's...
That's, yeah, like one of my first real incarnations with the Sonic.
Yeah.
And I like the blue light redder. Don't get me wrong, I do like Matt Smith and Capaldi's Sonic, but I also like...
Oh, the fourth one is the one with the whirly ring, right?
Yeah, the lights will move right, yeah.
Yeah.
Blue or green.
Yeah, because the fourth Doctor one's pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really remember him using it a lot back then, but like... Which I know he did, but it wasn't... He didn't... In the past episodes, it wasn't always whipped out and, like, used,
yeah,
as much as it is in the revival episodes, I guess.
That, and there wasn't much difference in the design of them.
Right, yeah. Because, like, Eccleston's design and Tennant's is pretty much the same,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, the same. Yeah.
Wasn't Capaldi's, well, and Matt Smith's the same, too?
Well, they were until he went to Sonic glasses, yeah, and then you went to his own.
Yeah. Which is like, well, the only difference between Eccleston's and Tennant's is Eccleston's didn't pop up.
Oh, yeah, I guess not.
And then Tennant's popped up, and then
I like how
Matt's got changed altogether because it fried or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it went to the green light instead of the blue light.
With the claw, extended claw.
With the claw, right. And then Capaldi's is...
It started out with that, and...
And then it got destroyed too.
Yeah, he lost it somewhere. Or yeah. Something. He went to stupid Sonic glasses.
Yeah.
I like the fact that you can like scan a life form with the Sonic or whatever, and then determine what's wrong with the person.
Yeah.
Because like Tennant and Matt Smith did it a lot.
Yeah. Because it's a scientific instrument, as John
not
Hurt.
A water pistol.
Yeah.
Right. A water pistol.
Right, and it doesn't do wood.
It don't do wood. Never has. Never will.
Which is a classic, like, 1960s, 70s type thing. It's like, well, it can't be this all-powerful instrument that it uses, so it has to have a weakness somehow.
What's its weakness? Wood.
Like Green Lantern rings.
Yeah.
Like, when it first started, it couldn't
Malin
do yellow.
Scott's ring.
Yeah.
Couldn't do wood either.
Yeah, right. Let's see... You got any funny stories? You got a funny Doctor Who story? I know I do.
I'm trying to think of
one. I know Shane was there with me at this one. whether he remembers all of it or not. But
my first PlanetCon with you and Ethan and Donnie.
Yeah.
I had that Matt Smith Timey Wimey shirt on.
Yeah.
And like my khaki shorts and my running shoes, which I'm a fat kid, so I don't run anymore. And Ethan and I were walking down the aisles of like a Doctor Who thing, I think, and like some little 8-year-old kids ran past us, and like I heard cool costume, and I'm like, I'm just naturally fat and wearing a Doctor Who shirt. I don't think I had like a Red Lantern ring on too, so I was like, I'm not wearing a costume.
You're representing 3/4 styles. Oh, let me see. I don't know if I have actually any funny Doctor Who stories.
Well, anything.
Anything? Anything like, funny? Well, there's been a ton of funny stories.
No.
Want to tell some drinking stories?
Well, my story involves a little bit of drinking.
Oh, well, yeah. Hey. Well, yeah, like I said, yeah, I don't, you know, I can't recall any funny Doctor Who stories.
Right.
But
when we were in line to meet Matt, the big bouncer guy.
Oh, man, I can't remember that.
He was like all, like it was SWAT, like he was guarding Fort Knox.
Oh. Yeah, see, I don't remember that.
And Matt was like how he was playing the doctor. You know, he was just jovial and, you know, fun and laughing and joking with everybody. And then they were like, as soon as the closer you got, you know, you had this big brick house dude that wasn't budging and didn't smile, or, you know, he's all serious business. And he was like, no touching, can't touch or whatever. And then we get there, and then like the first thing Matt does with me is like sticks out his hand and like wants to shake my hand. And I'm like, well, yes, of course I want to shake your hand, but, you know, seven foot, 6 foot wide dude just said no.
Yeah, making my mind, I'm confused.
Yeah.
I'm a confused fan.
Shane, distract him.
Yeah. I was probably distracted enough staring at Matt Smith.
Yeah. The other one I had was when we got done with the con and we were in the hotel bar. And I don't even think, you know, usually we have con shirts on, or not cons, but like nerdy shirts on, whether it's a Supernatural shirt or a Doctor Who shirt or whatever. And we were drinking, shocker. And a couple of guys, I think, like older guys, like between my age and your age, I would say, like came up and thought I was John Barrowman. And I was like, I like looked at you, and I think I looked at Eric maybe. And I was like, I don't even look like him. And they were like, can we buy you a drink? Because I think he was supposed to be there at the con, but then he canceled or whatever because of Arrow.
Yeah, it could have been.
And because, you know, that was like, Amel was supposed to be there too, and like a couple of the Arrow people. And then they had like a big, like, West Coast thing or whatever. And
you look nothing like
him. Right? And that's what I told Shane. I was like, I look nothing like this dude. And they were like, we'll buy you a drink. And I was like, well, a drink's a drink. You know, I'm not going to... You can buy me a drink. That's cool.
Didn't you tell me a story about an old lady thinking you were
in? Yes. Well, then we got back from con. And then my previous job, it had like a storefront for technology stuff, we'll say, like phones or computer stuff or broken tablets or whatever. And I didn't really do the upfront part. And so this old lady, and I'm talking like she was like 60, pushing 70. And I've been in our town my whole life, basically. And so it's not a very big town, so you pretty much know everybody. And so the old lady that I was helping, she was like, I know you. And I was like, and, you know, I'm thinking, like, well, I'm sure you probably do because, you know, you're older and we know everybody here. I've seen you somewhere before, I'm sure. And then I went back to get her a part or whatever she came in there for. Maybe it was just like an Ethernet cable or something. That part I don't really remember. And I come back and she was like, you're that guy that's the bad archer in Arrow. And on that timey-wimey show that with the police box. And I was like, at that point, I was like shocked because I didn't know how to react, whether I was impressed that an older person was watching Arrow and Doctor Who or what. And I was like, no, that's not me. And well, you look an awful lot like him. So then I got to like complex all over again, not saying that John's a bad looking guy or whatever. I'm just saying like I don't look anything like him. It's not like I go to like cons and cosplay as him or, you know, throw it out there that I look like John Barrowman because he has a cleft chin and I don't have a cleft chin.
He also has
He has a lot more hair than I do. But, yeah. So that was my couple of funny stories that we had.
Well, I don't have any drinking stories because I'm 17.
Well, that's good. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
You'll get there. Yeah. Hang in there, man. You'll get there. Don't rush it.
So, like, Shane, what do you think out of all of your toy type stuff that you bought at cons or have bought? Because there's a lot of crazy stuff that we've done also.
Yeah.
Like when we first moved into our house that we live in now, I took my grandma's old white dresser and for Austin because it was his first time of actually having his own room and not sharing it with one of his brothers or his sister. I made him a TARDIS with the actual decals on it and the whole nine yards. And you have your police box over there and in your old house that you painted the front door like the TARDIS
because I got the stickers from you. I had extra stickers extra decals
so but like what do you think is one of the, like you got the mini blocks of the or the mini figures whatever and then the TARDIS lunch box right and then was it the coloring book
I got a coloring book
I mean, there's just tons of stuff. And then, of course, we got the cookie jar. Like, I have two cookie jars where one's at work next to my 4th and 10th and 11th pop figure doctors because they're kind of scaled the same. And then one is at home. And then last year, Austin, or 2 years ago?
It's been a couple of years. We've used them as the tree topper.
As the tree topper. Cause,
we decorated it with blues and stuff cause like
mom,
that.
Yeah, because mom switches out between the white tree and the green tree at Christmas. So, like, when she does the white tree, usually she does the blue and silver ornaments.
Which is perfect for a Doctor Who themed tree.
Which, that was her idea because, you know, she was the, I don't know why you guys like this. I don't know why you guys like this. And then she started with Matt Smith. And,
you mean like with Sons of Anarchy too?
Yeah, kind of like that. But what do you think is like the coolest thing that you picked up so far?
The coolest thing
I didn't know. I didn't see your two buses over there. The Weeping Angel and the Matt Smith bus.
Oh, yeah, I got them. I actually bought...
I knew you had Amy, but I didn't know.
I bought them actually for Gala for Christmas. Christmas, birthday, stuff like that. And,
right, right.
And then, I picked up Amy's last con in Kansas City.
Right.
I got to go to, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, the bus are pretty cool. You know, and they're affordable.
Yeah.
You know, $60, you know, that's no biggie.
Right.
But, probably... That TARDIS bank I got over here. I like that. It's one of the first ones I got.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it makes a stupid noise and everything.
Right.
Yeah, ain't none of my Doctor Who stuff, you know, expensive shit or nothing, you know, it's just...
Right.
It's just cool.
Yeah, and you you actually have ornaments, right? Like, tree ornaments?
No, I don't have any.
Or was that Star Trek that you did?
I've got a few of the Star Trek.
Oh, okay.
Hallmark stuff, but...
Okay.
Yeah, I don't put a Christmas tree up no more, so...
Right, right, yeah.
I'd come closer to decorating the fish tank with the Doctor Who stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Which you can get.
Yeah.
Just haven't got around to gotten any yet.
And your shower curtain? Shower
curtain? I finally had to retire that because it finally got grody enough and old. And, but it was pretty cool, too.
Yeah. Well, I got some cool facts that not a lot of people would know. Some of these we talked about last episode, actually. Or we hinted on it. So I want to read off a couple. And if you guys got comments or whatever, just throw them out there, too. But The first one was in 1963, which is when Doctor Who was created. It was created for a kids. It was created as a kids series to educate the kids about the human condition and science.
Yeah, I think I'd heard that one before. I knew it was for kids, but
because I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah,
another one in $50. Here's $50. Go make a TV show.
Right. Yeah. Because the guy, Waris Hussein, I think I butcher names it, but he was only 24 when he directed the first episode, so that was kind of cool. The second one I thought was pretty cool was the Doctor didn't actually become a Time Lord until like 1969. Like, they never actually said that he was a Time Lord until the sixth season, which would have been, I was trying to see, the sixth season, so Baker, maybe?
Quite possible.
One of the Bakers? Colin Baker?
Probably.
And then Gallifrey wasn't mentioned as his home until 73. So 10 years in the making, they finally actually said what planet he was from or whatever. Let's see. And another one is the Doctor may or may not be an actual doctor.
Yeah.
Because Patrick Troughton, which is the second doctor, got asked if he was an actual doctor. And his companion was Polly. And he said, I think I was at one time. I think I took a degree once in Moscow or Glasgow in 1888. So that's just like a thread, whether it's an older episode. So it was just kind of throwing it out there that why do you get to be called the doctor if you're not the doctor?
Yeah, I just always figured because, you know, he was a good man, you know, fix things, you know.
That's right, they call him
doctor.
Yeah, and that's kind of pretty much what it evolved into, basically.
Yeah.
Is that you fix things and you heal things and you save people, because he does save people, so. This one I knew about, and we kind of touched on it when we talked a little bit about the Christmas episode last. But the first Doctor's health problems, William Hartnell, led to the idea of regeneration.
That's cool.
Yeah, well, so
not cool, but yeah.
Yeah. So from Hartnell was the doctor from 63 to 66, and he was having actual health problems at the end, I would think that, like, Tennant and Smith and Capaldi, we've heard that they have very rigorous scheduling stuff, but I guess Hartnell couldn't take the pre-production, production, post-production stuff either. And he didn't run around because they only had like two sets that they used for everything.
And now we've got London.
Yeah, and now we got everything. But he was having some health problems, but to ensure that the show went on and how they could recast the Doctor, they came up with the regeneration.
Actually, Troughton was the Doctor during the sixth season.
Troughton was?
Yeah.
Because Hartnell was three seasons, which would be 63 to 66.
Yeah, they kind of spoiled people back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like it did with David.
Oh, yeah. Lieutenant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Left him in there for a little bit longer than what they normally do.
Yeah. So this next kind of fact follows up on the regeneration part. A memo that went out to the production crew in 66, so that's when Hartnell's getting ready to do his last one. They explained the regeneration is supposed to feel like a bad acid trip. Now, I personally have never been on an acid trip, good or bad.
Neither have I.
So, but this is what the memo said. It's a metaphysical change that would take place as the first Doctor became the second Doctor. It is as if he had an LSD drug, and instead of experiencing the kicks, he has the hell and dank horror, which can be its effects.
Well, that sounds pleasant now, don't it?
Yeah.
I just thought of a theory.
You had a theory?
What if all the monsters and stuff is just the Doctor tripping?
Well, I don't think he's actually, like, taking LSD or anything.
I know, but that would be crazy.
The next one is Ridley Scott. You know who Ridley Scott is?
He's a director.
Okay.
Was supposed to design the original Dalek. Because when he was, or he was supposed to design the Daleks, because when he was doing Alien and Blade Runner.
Oh, yeah, that person.
He never had the chance because of those two things, but he worked with BBC a lot and trying to make a new design for them from the old style to the new style to modernize them, basically. I'm guessing this is about the time when the made-for-TV show came out, or the movie, made-for-movie. TV-made movie, there.
Yeah.
Easy for me to say. But, so, Raymond Kuzik is the actual designer of the actual iconic Dalek. And he was quoted as saying, "People say that I was inspired by a pepper pot, but I always think of it as a designer just being a doodler." So, and then on that note, the original creators almost nixed the idea of Daleks altogether, because they didn't want, as Sidney Newman put here, they didn't want BEMSs, which is bug-eyed monsters. Like the whole cliche. Of course, this is like 1960s.
And, right.
Would you say?
So,
yeah, there was plenty of bug-eyed monsters running around for everybody. You know?
Yeah, right.
Would you say the Daleks were almost exterminated?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes.
They were almost exterminated before they even
existed.
But one of the show writers at the time had the whole idea of the human being trapped inside a Dalek.
That's cool.
Which is kind of more like Cyberman-ish.
Yeah.
Or the upgrade part of it.
Yeah, be more like Cyberman.
Which is the actual spinoff of that part of it.
So he's going to get it in there somewhere.
Yeah. And then the Daleks almost didn't even make the show's revival in 2005.
Yeah, I kind of heard a little bit of something about that.
Which we kind of talked about.
Yeah.
But the Terry Nation estate, and who actually created the mutants and the mutated part of them back then, the negotiations were breaking down between BBC and his estate. And then, fortunately, it all got worked out, which basically says that there has to be at least a scene of a Dalek per season.
Per season.
So whether it's a rusted Union Jack one that's on a spaceship with dinosaurs or whatever. But to me, like, honestly, like, the Daleks, for that purpose, like I think I said last week, is, like, overplayed a lot to me. Like, when they first came back, I thought it was cool because we hadn't seen them for X amount of years. But then it was just like, okay, now we see them all the time. Kind of like with Batman with Joker type thing, where Joker's cool all in itself, but if you see him every issue, episode, then
it's like, oh, look, a mediocre villain.
Yeah, I mean, right.
He's supposed to be
right.
One of the most dangerous villains on the show or whatever.
Yeah. I thought this one was kind of cool. Tom Baker, which is the fourth Doctor from 74 to 81, was a spokesman for Prime Computer, which at that time computers were pretty futuristic.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It kind of makes sense though.
Yeah.
That the Doctor would be a spokesperson for a computer.
Right. It took 6 years for BBC to trademark the TARDIS from 96 to 2002 every year, or I don't know how trademarks work, but I'm assuming you have to resubmit every so many years or whatever. But the Metropolitan Police Force. Yeah, well, that's, yeah, basically was fighting the patent because it's a blue police box.
Yeah, I can see that.
So then, and I always wondered this because I seen them, like, when Melissa goes to a Hobby Lobby or whatever. But in 2002, BBC got the trademark for them. And so then, a month later, the police had to paint them from blue to red. So that was kind of cool. And BBC won the case, and they had to pay $850 plus legal cost, or 850, it's not dollars, it's pounds, plus legal cost for the however many year battle to gain the TARDIS. Plus they had to paint all of their police boxes, which by that time I would say was probably far in between, I would say.
Yeah, there's not too many police boxes anymore, any call boxes.
Well, especially now in 2018, but like in 2002, I would say it's
pretty... Yeah, there's probably still some around in.
Probably still more than what there is now, but...
Yeah, the call boxes went the way of the payphones, so...
Yeah. I'll wrap these 12 and 13 together. Tennant and Capaldi both grew up as huge Doctor Who fans.
Yeah, I knew that one.
Tennant, while he was in high school and in college, anytime that he had an essay or a term paper due, it was always about Doctor Who or around it.
I used to do that a lot.
Capaldi was so obsessed with it as a teenager that he called the BBC office and staffers to try to get the job, even as like the main president of the fan club. Which I didn't know that. I knew he was a huge fan, but...
I knew he wrote letters as a kid to him, too, about Doctor Who. He'd always... Yeah. I've seen that on a few of them.
Actually, one of the quotes from Sarah Newman, who is the... Who was the assistant show producer at the time, I guess, whenever Capaldi was doing it, says that he haunted my time running the fan club because he was indigent. And he wasn't considered for the post, which would be, like, any spot that they had open. And so, like, each time that he sent in a letter, they would just crumple up and throw it away when they saw his name.
That probably pissed him off enough that he started, instead of writing one letter a week, he probably started writing two.
Right. I'm going to skip 14 because we're going to do listener questions after this. And this one kind of ties in with that one.
Works for me.
15... Also, because it ties in. Matt Smith auditioned for Sherlock a week before auditioning for Doctor Who.
Well.
He auditioned for Watson.
Really?
And not even after Sherlock.
I couldn't see him as Watson.
I would love to see him and Benedict Cumberbatch play, because Sherlock's one of my other favorite shows.
Well, they did a little one-shot one time, yeah, you know, where Doctor Who met...
Cumberbatch was always the lead role, or always the person that was going to play Sherlock, according to Moffat, who does both shows, or did both shows, rather. But, because now Broadchurch's creator, Chris Chibnall, is the one that's going to take over, which Broadchurch has David Tennant in it.
Yes.
So, yeah.
If you didn't like Broadchurch, they did it over here too.
Which, that same week that Matt auditioned for Sherlock, Cumberbatch got asked if he wanted to play the 11th Doctor.
Now, see, he could do that.
And he turned it down. And then after him was Hugh Grant.
No, Hugh Grant.
And they both turned it down because they both worried that they would fail after Tennant's run, that they would kill it both.
Cumberbatch could have done it pretty easy.
See,
I think he could have. I really think he could have.
But would he have been like Capaldi's doctor?
I don't think he'd have been that serious. You know, he'd been, I think he'd been closer to Matt Smith than Capaldi.
Okay.
That's why, you know, because you've seen him act retarded silly sometimes on Sherlock, you know, and,
right,
or, yeah, and some of the other stuff he's been in, because hell, he can do anything.
Right.
So, yeah, I could see him doing it. He could do it.
Yeah. Let's see. We talked about this last week, as The Fires of Pompeii had Capaldi and Karen Gillan in it, which was Amy. She was a soothsayer.
Yes, she was one of the soothsayers.
Yeah.
Soothsayers.
All right, so here's a tongue twister for me, even though I haven't been butchering this whole thing. The 10th Doctor married the 5th Doctor's daughter.
Yes.
Who played the 10th Doctor's...
daughter.
Daughter.
Yep.
So are you confused yet, Austin?
No.
So, and
I remember you talking to me about that.
In 2011, David Tennant married Georgia Moffat, who played his artificially created daughter, Jenny, in the 2008 episode, The Doctor's Daughter. In real life, Georgia is really a doctor's daughter. She is Peter Davison's daughter, who is the 5th Doctor, who played Doctor... who played the Doctor between 81 and 84.
Because they got a thing in the 5 Doctors.
Yeah, yeah. Which was like a red nose special thing.
Yeah, it was something they threw together. It was pretty good.
And then two things, and then we'll get to the other thing before we do. We'll do the thing, and then the other thing.
Yes, the things.
So there was a proposed movie in the 80s, at the height of Michael Jackson mania, for him to play Doctor Who.
I think I've read that somewhere too, but I'm glad they didn't do that.
Yeah.
The movie they did make, it was actually butchered pretty good, but, you know, it was Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Just right. Imagine Michael Jackson.
The Wizard of Oz one?
No, one with the... not Michael Jackson, the Doctor Who movie.
Oh, with McCann?
Yeah.
Okay.
Paul McCann in it.
I thought you meant Michael Jackson.
We don't want to talk about the Wiz.
Yeah.
I can actually see Michael Jackson just like doing his dance moves up down London with a sonic screwdriver.
Yeah.
That'd be one interesting Smooth Criminal video.
More than 100 episodes of The Doctor are lost.
I've heard that too.
So back in the 60s and 70s, archiving media was much more difficult and physical process than what it is today. Clearly, you can't just put thumb drives down.
Nope.
Or
that was all
mobile.
On tape back in.
Yeah.
That was all back on videotape.
So even the pilot episode was lost until it got found in 2016, actually. And they were clearing out one of the BBC rooms. And it was in a mislabeled container.
I knew they found a couple of the lost ones, but it was just the audio.
Yeah. And some some fans have sent in their VCR taped episodes so they can remaster. The Power of the Daleks was one of the audio ones that saw new life in November of 2016. And it came back as a BBC-approved animated special.
Yes. I forgot about the anime special. I've watched most of them.
Yeah. So, the last thing, what?
Oh, I was agreeing with Shane about the animated specials.
Yeah. I didn't like them that much, but they was okay.
Yeah.
I didn't like the animation style. Let's
see. So, this is one of Sparky's questions.
All right, Sparky.
But, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
The Catherine Zeta-Jones?
The Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Woohoo!
Was offered to play the Doctor before Jodie Whittaker.
I'm glad she didn't take it. I couldn't see. I don't know.
In 2008, Russell T. Davis approached her with the idea, citing that he was the top pick to replace David Tennant. Because in his mind at the time, there was no other male actor that could top David Tennant's portrayal of the Doctor. And so Catherine Zeta-Jones would shake things up And then you'd have that break of if they went back to, or when they went back to, a male doctor. So, but Sparky's question is, what do you think of the idea of the new woman doctor, which would be Jodie Whittaker? And I'll answer this before everybody else does, because I'm blunt, like everybody else knows on my podcast. But when I first heard about it, I was pretty mad. But it wasn't the point that it was a woman that got portrayed as a doctor. It was more of, I think, I felt like BBC went that way because of all the political diversity type stuff. So, like, they got bullied into going that way.
Right. No, I agree with you 100% on that one.
They also get accused of being sexist since there wasn't a female doctor?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, if...
Just trying to stay with it.
If everything wasn't happening like it was, right, I wouldn't have had that. I mean, I still would have been mad because Capaldi's leaving.
Right.
Right? Because I hated Tennant coming. I hated Matt coming. I hated Capaldi coming. Right? So it still sucked. But at that point, I was furious. Like, you can ask the podcast group that I'm in. Like, they wouldn't... They would ask me questions about it just to hear me rant and rave about it.
Just to hear you pull a Ron Barron.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But now, like, now actually, like, and we've even texted about it. Because, like, when the Christmas episode was out, we were like, hey, you ready to watch the last Doctor Who episode that we will?
Yeah.
You know? But now thinking about it, it's like, I'll have to see a couple episodes whether I want to keep watching or not. And if it stays in the show vein, okay, but... It also changes a lot of stuff.
Oh yeah, it you know, like, you know, like I said, you know, you can't really make a big judgment on her for the whole 10 seconds you saw her in a Christmas episode.
Except for she fell out of the TARDIS, yeah, like, you know, Matt did.
Big whoop de doo, you know. You've got to watch some to even actually give her. I'll give her a fair shake.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still.
But what was your initial reaction? Same as mine.
Yeah, pretty much exactly the same.
Yeah.
Maybe a little less cuss words, but still. It's just, you know, I like the BBC, but, you know, they can't have a show on anymore that don't have lesbians, gays, Muslims, you know, just, I mean, it's in every show.
Right, yeah.
You know, they're going way out of their way overcompensating for,
yeah, right,
for it, you know.
Right, yeah.
And I've got nothing against any of them groups.
Right.
And so, you know, but you don't have to try to, you know, push it down everybody's throat.
Yeah, well, and it's like, just don't overcompensate.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, if it was a natural progression of the story, or if it went that way, like Russell T. Davis's thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, if they would have went this way instead of Peter Capaldi,
yeah,
I would have saw that, because you had three badass doctors right after another, right? Not saying that Capaldi wasn't. I'm just saying, but, like, if you wanted to break the mix right there, I think that was the time to do it. Instead of, like, now where it's like, okay, uncle, we give up type thing.
Yeah.
But, like you said, I'll give it a fair shake, because now it's kind of cool that before, all the little girls were just companions, and that's the only thing that... Except for, like, even, like Dr. Donna, we got a taste of... Yeah. Dr. Donna, and I was cool with that.
Yeah, she worked out good for that.
You know.
I used that argument.
And honestly, like, fair shake-wise, I haven't seen Jodie Whittaker in anything else.
Yeah, I can't.
So, I don't even know. Anything,
so, yeah.
You know.
Of course, you never seen Matt Smith in nothing else either, really.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Never heard of David Tennant till then. I hadn't.
Yeah.
But anyways, like I said, I'll give her a fair shake.
Yeah.
I'll probably watch them all.
Yeah.
Hell, by the time I ever get around to re-showing, you know, showing the new ones again, I might have forgot who the hell Doctor Who is.
Right.
You want my opinion now?
Yep.
Okay. I was kind of upset about it, too, but more of I'm used to it being, like, Eccleston and then Tennant and then
that. So you're used to it being a male role,
yeah,
basically.
And then I see that, and then, like, I'm your kid, so I can kind of see your viewpoints, too.
Right.
But I'm not as angry about it as you are.
As I was.
As you were, was, whatever.
Yeah,
you
were. As I were, yeah.
Sorry, but I could see it too.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of cool.
Yep.
I'm gonna reserve judgment on the cool part until I see it. Well,
yeah, right.
I mean, that too. Like, yeah, we can't get mad about it if we haven't seen her act yet, besides the Christmas special.
Yeah, like I said, that wasn't much.
Yeah, that was only like the last 2 minutes or whatever. And I know, and I have friends like Martin's brother, Julian, who wants to be on with us a couple of times, or regularly or whatever. We just got to figure out how to do it. He absolutely can't stand it. Absolutely can't stand it. Like, Christmas episode, as little as I've talked to him about it and posts that I've seen, like, Christmas episode was done. Doctor Who ended and died.
That was it. No more Doctor Who ever.
But, you know, once we get him on the show, we can talk to him about it.
My opinion about it is also kind of, I hated David Tennant until I watched him. Mm-hmm. And then I hated Matt Smith when it was time for Tennant to leave. And then I hated Capaldi because Smith was leaving. Yeah. And then it's like, dude, okay.
Me and your dad, bitch.
It's like,
bitch,
all right, I've done
straight.
This. I've already done this multiple times.
Yeah.
Let's just see it. Because I started to like David Tennant, and now he's my favorite doctor. And then I liked Matt Smith, and he was next favorite doctor. Right. And then I liked Capaldi. All I had to do was give him a shot. So,
yeah, which is another question.
Yeah, I know.
That Sparky said. Will you, Austin, right here, will you give Capaldi a shot?
Let me explain myself. So last week, I had stated that I hadn't seen many Capaldi episodes, which is a lie, because I had watched the entire... I had watched the entire Capaldi run up until his special with River and the head guy, or whatever. And I didn't realize that, because I was like, oh, that's a Matt Smith episode, or something like that. Or it, like, slipped my brain completely. And then I started watching videos about it, and I was like, oh, yeah, Missy. Yeah, that's the Capaldi season. Yeah, I totally remember it now.
Yeah.
Shit, now I gotta...
Dude, Greg Davies is funny as hell, man.
Now I gotta go back and explain to everybody that I had seen Capaldi.
Yeah.
And it was one of my favorite options.
Anybody listening, if you have... BBC, watch Man Down with Greg Davies in it. It is funny as hell.
Oh,
God, that show's funny.
I don't even think I've seen that.
Oh, you know, it's on regular BBC. It's not on BBC America.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's... Only BBC show I ever saw funnier was The Inbetweeners. But Man Down is hilarious. He's like a 40-year-old teacher.
Right.
And he lives with his mom. And his aunt moves in eventually, and they're in his ass all the time, and you know, nothing ever goes right. His friends are just nuts, man. It's funny as hell.
Let's see. Sparky asks, what's the funniest episode? What's our funniest episode? We'll do a two-part here, because then that'll be... Well, and then he has one more. The funniest episode, and then has the show ever made you cry or laugh out loud?
There was a few episodes that have made me just bust out laughing, and it was because of the Doctor's acting mixed with other characters. Like, a lot of it was Tennant and Smith, or not Smith, but Jack going back and forth about it.
Yeah.
And that was just the funny moments when, like, they would do a quip at each other or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I have cried during an episode, and you know
just
this.
Just one?
There's been a couple, but the main one that I remember was The Angels Take Manhattan, because Amy and Rory were my favorite companions at that point.
Okay.
And then
that one got you?
Yeah. I mean...
Dude, that got you more than I Don't Want to Go?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Think about it, dude.
A lot of the regenerations made me sad, too. I teared a little bit.
Vincent and the Doctor at the end?
I bawled like a little girl that one, because... Van Gogh was my
favorite. Little baby girl.
Was my favorite painter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I fixed my problem from last week.
Not
writer. Author.
Yeah.
But he was my favorite painter at that time of watching that episode. And that's mainly one of the reasons why I watched it. It was because, that and it was Doctor Who.
Dude, but Tim saying I Don't Want to Go was not the kicker. It was all the build up to it when he was going back and seeing everybody that, you know, and... You know, he went and gave Donna them the lottery ticket, and went back and, you know, and seen Sarah. And
yeah.
I cried.
Yeah.
I cried a lot.
Is that your answer?
Episodes.
Yeah. That'll be my answer too.
Yeah. Mine would be Rose's last one.
That made me cry too.
Actually, that didn't even bother me.
Really?
Yeah, it didn't.
You heartless monster.
That didn't, it might have been, but you know.
And then, like, the funniest one, I think I'd have to go with almost with the Day of the Doctor too. Just the three of them.
Oh yeah, that was good.
The banter between them, and then like him kissing the Queen, which wasn't actually the Queen, or could have not been the Queen.
Yeah.
And then Sand Shoes and Granddad, you know, and all that.
All three of you together. None of you thought to try the door.
Another funny part was the Angel Bob.
Angel Bob was hilarious.
Yeah.
Hey, Angel Bob was one of my favorite.
Yeah. Angel Bob was really good.
Yeah. Dewan. Sparky's on the 2BT podcast that I was talking about. Plus, he's done intros to almost every show that's on the Nerdy Legion. So he is like the king producer. Dewan from the Collecting Valiant podcast has our last question. And if you're new to Doctor Who, where would you start?
With Rose.
With
Eccleston.
With Eccleston. Yeah,
very first episode.
Living plastic.
Yeah, I mean.
I would agree.
I mean, you know, if I don't know, how old is he? How old is
my age.
Your age, yeah. It'd probably be best start then.
Yeah.
Because, like I said.
You're only going back to 2005, basically.
Yeah, because you go back any further and start watching the older stuff, it's going to make you mad because the special effects and the production value is so low.
Yeah. If you don't have time to do that, though. I think if you start with whatever Doctor.
Yeah, you can't go wrong start with whoever you start with. You know, right. As long as you watch the whole run.
Right, yeah. So, like, if you start in 05 or whatever, or if you start with Tennant, or if you start even in, 2010, 2011 with Matt Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I think if you can't start with 05... to get appreciation of this show, I think you would have to do Tenet first. To appreciate, like, everything that comes after it.
Yeah, because you'd have to because, because if you don't, if you hit the ones with River Song, it's going to throw you way out of kilter whack.
Right.
You know, even though it's a lot of whack anyways, but it's really going to throw you out of whack.
Well, that, and I don't think you'll take as much appreciation of how the Doctor himself changes when the actor actually changes.
Right.
So,
yeah. I have a question.
All right, one last question, and then we're gonna wrap it up.
I was gonna ask if I could. I remembered a Doctor Who story that was pretty funny.
Okay,
go for it.
Back in your man cave when you had like the Doctor Who stuff.
Yeah.
Alex had to come over before you and Mom got together.
Yeah.
And all this other stuff, and I was like, "Hey, Alex, you wanna play Doctor Who?" And he said, yeah. So I was like, I'll be David Tennant, and you can be Captain Jack. And, like, from the computer room, I can hear you yell, no. I was like, I don't understand. And then I was like, oh, yeah. That's kind of awkward. I was like, well, he couldn't be Mickey. He didn't fit Mickey.
So we're going to wrap up the hour here. Oh, you got one?
I guess got to say hi to one person.
Oh, yeah.
That's our fan in Malaysia.
Yeah.
We thank you for downloading. Yeah. Keep up the good work, buddy.
You can catch me on the Twitter machine at Rombar316. And the show is at Timey Wimey Hour. And Austin, your Twitter handle is
I'm Shadowman 3166, not I am.
Right, so that's I am.
I am Shadowman 3166.
Yeah.
And I'm Shani Who.
So shout out us, follow us. The podcast is now on iTunes, Stitcher, whatever, however you listen to your podcasting on your mobile devices. We are at nerdylegion.com /TWH, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right. Hey, send us your comments, your suggestions, questions, your bitch mail. Tell us we suck, whatever. We don't care. We'll read it and, you know, might even respond.
Yep.
I'm used to hate mail anyway.
Yeah, hell, what's a little hate mail between friends? Hell.
Okay, you used to be me. You've done all this before. What happens next?
I don't remember.
How can you forget this?
Hey,
Hang on, it's not my fault. You're obviously not paying enough attention. Reverse the polarity.
Why are you pointing your screwdrivers like that? They're scientific instruments, not water pistols.
I demand to be incarcerated in the tower immediately with my co-conspirators, Sandshoes and Grandad.
Grandad?
They're not Sandshoes.